For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. When Jens Lehmann sings a song, it's like we're friends sitting on a couch talking. The twists and turns of those songs can echo the stream of consciousness. And you can hear it in his new song called Evening Prayer. So I'm going to play that song for you. And after, I have a conversation with Jens Lehmann. It's a quirky song about a friend who had a tumor removed and then had a 3D model made of that tumor, and he carries it around. And if that's not weird enough, the musical backdrop resembles a bouncy disco track from the mid-70s. So let's start the song and then the conversation with Jens Lehmann.
A 3D printer, and he prints out a model of the tumor that was surgically removed from his back this winter. And it's rugged gray plastic, it looks lunar. He puts the tumor in his breast pocket as we head out for a peek.
It's been a long, hard year for a friend who's not sure if he's close enough to be allowed to care or just be there to include you in his evening prayer. How I pray that I could stop the pain when the pain needed more than ibuprofen. How I pray that I could take away your worries deeper than the West Pacific Ocean. He puts the tumor on our table, says, so this is what caused all my fears. It's been a long, hard year for a friend who's not sure if he's close enough to be allowed to care or just be there to include you in his evening prayer. Lights down from her bar stool, looks at the tumor, says, what is this? It looks kind of cool. Okay, despite what he's been through, but he sees I'm made uneasy by the model he's done. He says it's helped me a lot to have a friend like you. When I saw you worry, I knew I had to be strong. He gives a tumor to the waitresses, give my friend here a piece.
It's been a long, hard year. I just wasn't sure if we were close enough, but I want you to know how much I care that you were in my evening prayer.
I want you to know that you were in my prayer. I want you to know that you were in my prayer.
Is that the gentle hiss of Jens?
Hello.
Hi.
That's the sound of my soul, actually.
Well, let it fly around the room for the next half hour or so. I'd like to read, for those who just heard this song, I want to read the opening graph to the lyrics of this song. It says, at Babak's school, there's a 3D printer, and he prints out a model of the tumor that was surgically removed from his back this winter. In its rugged gray plastic, it looks lunar. He puts the tumor in his breast pocket as we head out for a beer. Do you have any clue where the idea for these words come from, for these stories?
I know that the idea of the 3D printed tumor came from something I read about a doctor who had printed out a tumor for some sort of procedure to study it from the outside. And I know that the idea of printing out something that's scary as a tumor into its concrete form was something that spoke to me. I don't know, there was something very liberating about that idea. It reminded me of when I released my last record, I Know What Love Isn't, and I had been going through this long period of just dealing with a lot of difficult emotions. And then the first time someone showed me the actual record and this little piece of plastic and just put it on the table in front of me, it was just this liberating feeling where it's like, oh, all those feelings, they are in this piece of plastic now. So there was something about that that really spoke to me. And I just wrote those first lines, and then the rest of the story followed.
Does having something tangible then take away your fears, your anxiety?
I think so. I mean, I think a lot of at least my anxieties and fears are things that are very abstract. I think a lot of the times that I've been able to overcome a fear, it's been by sort of making it to something that I can understand, that I can hold on to, or just something that's more tangible.
When I listen to your music, I feel that we're sitting on a couch together and you're sort of just telling me a story. That I'm your friend, right? And I love that very intimate way you have, as bizarre as some of these stories are. And I wonder, like, how do you write? It almost sounds like you write the way many of us in radio write, which is we try to say it, we try to speak it, as opposed to just writing.
I think some of my best stories have been stories that I've told countless times to friends. You know, my old stories, like A Postcard to Nina and Waiting for Kirsten, were stories that I just kept telling to people, you know, and then this happened, and then this happened. Oh. And then eventually I start realizing why I keep telling it, usually because there's some sort of significance to the story, that it's a good story, or there's something in there that touches me, that makes it a good story. I think that's always the best way to tell a story.
So then how did this story develop? You see this article and this paper, you have this idea for this story about the Babak and his tumor, but you turned it into a song sort of about pain, about relieving pain, and about prayer.
Well, I had a lot of friends going through illnesses and friends going through chemotherapy, just friends getting ill, and it was something that was on my mind a lot around this time. So, you know, it started with those lines of just someone printing out their tumor as a little plastic model, which was an interesting image, and then it went from there just by association into these thoughts I had about friends getting ill and how to deal with that. And I think a lot of the emotions had to do also with, you know, dealing with how close you are and how to interact, what to do in a situation like that. Because I think over the last couple of years, I've had my first experiences with being close or somewhat close or just a little bit close to friends getting ill, and I didn't know really what to do in the beginning, you know? it was kind of difficult.
I guess one of the things to do, and you sort of express this in the song somehow, is to just to care, right?
To
be a friend.
And there's a lot of different ways of doing that, I think. Some friends, I wasn't sure if I should be if we should be talking about the illness, if that's the role they wanted me to do. I think I was very insecure about these things in the beginning. Should I just be there? Should I be offering my support? How can I offer my support? I just felt like just being there, I think, was important, and being open and lending my ear and my time.
And the evening prayer, is that something that your friend, I wasn't quite sure, is that something that the character in the story is doing, or is that something that you are doing?
I think in the story it's something that I was doing. Yeah. I'm not a religious person at all, but I found the idea. I mean, I've found at a few times in my life I've tried praying, and I like the idea of this character being at such a desperate point that he's praying even though he's not religious.
I think we all get there.
So yeah, that's, even if you're not religious, I think it's a nice way of just relieving what's inside of you, letting it out somehow, letting it out into space or cosmos or God or whatever is out there. I think also it's a story, you know, about, and it's something that I've experienced a lot, is that I've definitely found it easier to talk about these things when it's been female friends of mine. Parts of the record also, I think, deals with masculinity and the problems of showing emotions among men with male friends. And I think that's also something that that sort of came into the song, the difficulty of being vulnerable or showing emotions around another male friend.
Mm-hmm. Do you put your arm around him and give him a hug, or is it just something that you ignore and don't talk about? I wonder, is that just culturally, like, I live in a small world and don't travel a great deal, but is it just things that guys do? I mean, is it our problem universally?
Yeah, I think it is, definitely. I think it's pretty deeply ingrained in me and a lot of people I know. Some sort of, even if you don't want to admit it, some sort of homophobia or something. That it feels weird to express love or be vulnerable around another male friend. At least that's my take on it.
You couch this song, it's so much about how frail life is, and you couch it, and I'm going to play just a little bit of the top. In a very unexpected musical framework. So let me just play the top to remind people of the sound of this. I didn't see the story coming from from the way the music opened. I mean, this sounds like you know, a song by the Emotions in the 1970s, you know, The Best of My Love or something. What is the connection for you here? It's a real odd juxtaposition. What's the connection here between the actual music and the story? And I'll ask the obvious question, like, which came first in this case?
I think they both came at the same time, independently. You know, I tend to work with music on one side and the story / lyrics on the other side. And this is where it sort of happens. I feel like one part is finished. Like, I think I had the basis for the story finished. And then I went to the other box where the music is, and I found this music that I was working on. And a lot of time that creates contrast that I find really interesting. I mean, in this case, I think I I really wanted to make a pop song out of it. I didn't want to make some sort of, you know, country ballad out of it or something. I wanted it to be...
or heavy.
I wanted it
right?
to have energy. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to have energy and color. And I think the whole concept of the first opening lines is quite colorful. So I just wanted it to be a pop song. And I feel like there's something that happens in the music too, because the chorus is quite somber compared to the opening doo-doo-doos.
Let me see if I can find that real quick. Hang on. Just going back a bit. And so around here.
Puts the tumor on our table. So this is what caused all my fear.
Here we go.
It's been a long, hard year for a friend who's not sure if he's close enough to be allowed to care or just be there to include you in his evening prayer.
Who's doing all of the sound here? Who's your singer? How are the strings done? Let's just quickly talk about the actual music.
The singer is a woman called Lulu Lamotte, who is, I think she's from Baton Rouge from the beginning, but she lives in Malmö in Sweden.
Real good singer, too.
Yeah, really good. Like... I think she was in Swedish Idol, you know, the Swedish version of American Idol. and I just heard about her. I was looking for a really good gospel soul singer. Yeah, she's got some really good tunes on her own too. And then the music was just recorded by these musicians in Berlin. I can't remember the name. I think they were called the Oriole Quartet or something like that. That's the strings. And a couple of just good musicians in Berlin that my producer Ewan knew.
The strings reminded me a little bit of the Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Oh yeah, that's I haven't heard that in years, but that sounds familiar. I think I got them from they're actually taken from an old track of mine that never came out called The Summer Never Ends, a track that I recorded for the last album, I Know What Love Isn't, but never came out.
There hasn't been a record in an album in 4.5 years, but you've sure been making lots and lots of music. There's the Postcard Project you can tell us about, but you basically made a song every week for a year and more in 2015, right?
Exactly.
And there's a song on this record called Postcard. Is that, I assume, from that... that year?
Yep, that's I think there's two postcards on the album, Postcard 17 and 29.
I'm just looking at my list. I only see one of them, but
yeah, the other one is called How We Met, the long version. I gave it a title.
There we go. Okay. And then you've made a mixtape, half hour mixtape or so. Is there something daunting about the actual making of an album? Is there something liberating or not about not having an album? Or it's, I mean, 4.5 years is a fairly long time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, albums become, I don't know, they definitely become big deals. You have to go out and tour them, you know, play the songs and promote them. I think making the last record, for example, and then having to go on tour with that record was quite hard in a way, because I don't know, I made a very delicate and sad album, and then I went out to play that album for months, and it just felt like it, I don't know, it was really tough. Yeah, there was definitely something very liberating about making Postcards, for example, and just being able to do whatever I wanted to do, and not having to polish it as much, and not having to think about, is this song going to be relevant in a year when it comes out? Because, you know, this album was finished in August last year. It takes so long to set up an album for release.
I honestly don't know how musicians do it, how they, like, write a song about some really emotionally important part of their life and then go ahead and not only record the thing and tell the world about it, but then every night for a year or two, you go and you tell that story to all these people, all these strangers. I think it's the most bizarre thing in the world. And I hear you, especially when they are sad, both in lyrics and in the tone of the way you've arranged it. This record seems like it's going to be a whole lot of fun to get out and tour. Do you intend to tour with strings? How do you plan on touring this record?
Well, I have a new band. It's a small band. It's a drummer called Julia Ivansson, and a bass player called Hanna Westberg, and a keyboardist called Emily Odelberg.
And she'll,
so they're all Swedes.
And she'll do all of the strings, or how you?
Yeah, she does all the melodic stuff, the strings and the keyboards and piano, and she's actually a funeral organist. Which makes a very good contrast because, you know, I'm a wedding singer. That's my parallel career.
I did not know this.
And so I have a few, so I have a funeral organist in my band, and that's how she supports herself.
Well, I know it's fantastic. I love it. It makes it all even more better. I know you've done a Tiny Desk before, but if you'd like to come back and do these songs with this band, I would love that to happen when you come to DC. We can see if we can figure out that schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for doing this, and thanks for talking about this wonderful record. The record comes out February, 17th? It's called Life Will See You Now. Secretly Canadian is putting it out. Thanks, Jens Lekman.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Always nice to talk to you.
Likewise. Cheers, my friend.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jens Lekman. The new record's called Life Will See You Now. It's out February 17th. His tour of the U.S. begins in Houston on February 23rd. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.
Bob looks okay despite what he's been through, but he sees I'm made uneasy by the model he's done. He says it's helped me a lot to have a friend like you. When I saw you worry, I knew I had to be strong. He gives a tumor to the waitresses. Give my friend here a pick. It's been a long, hard year. I just wasn't sure if we were close enough. But I want you to know how much I care that you were.